folks. Welcome to the first ever Mr. National podcast, Prime Time. And we're going to talk electric football, sports, 80s music, girls with big butts. It's like, no, we won't talk about that.
Yeah, I'll let you talk about that. I don't mind.
Right.
I'm just not going to say anything to incriminate myself.
Right, exactly. We can't get away in trouble. Unless, you know what I mean? We'll let Smokestack learn how to get you out of trouble, though.
Right, right.
Yeah. Tell me. We'll get him to teach classes.
It wasn't me. Yeah, he's got to do some tutorials and seminars on that.
Yes. How to get out of trouble. And rule number one is, it wasn't me. That's it. It wasn't me. Unless they can come up with cold, hard evidence, like a picture, like video surveillance, you deny it all the way up till the end. Yeah, just
I think
deny
I can
it.
Do that.
Yeah, Stack, that's what Stack is saying. But, yeah, we'll just touch on some of the stuff that's on our Facebook page. You know, some of it makes it over to our web page. Another hot topic has been the get rid of one.
Oh, that's good, actually. Those are good. Yeah. You want to go over some of those right now? You want to do this right now?
It all started with the running backs. We put four all-time great running backs. Really, three. I mean, Bo Jackson is an all-time talent, but his career was cut short.
Right.
So what made it interesting was that they were all in their primes. The injuries, the playing football as a hobby wasn't in the mix. It was just their attributes, speed, height, power, in their prime. One gotta go. Who do you cut?
Okay, so who are the running backs?
Okay, the running backs were Walter Payton, Barry Sanders, Bo Jackson, and Emmitt Smith. And it was a unanimous, Paul, P-double. It was unanimous. Emmitt Smith had to go.
No,
all
I didn't.
Timely.
listen.
It was unanimous. And the only people that didn't say Emmitt, I did research. They were all Cowboys fans. So I was like, man. I mean, those were true football fans. Because, I mean, Emmitt, as great as he wasn't very fast.
No.
He wasn't very powerful. You know, if you were just looking at the attributes. You'd take Bo Jackson.
Right.
Bo Jackson would be number one. Yeah.
Right.
Bo Jackson, though. Yeah, most people said Emmitt had to go. It was a couple people said Bo because they said, oh, he got hurt. And I was like, well, that wasn't part of the thing. You don't take into consideration him getting hurt. So
now listen,
that was the.
Are you gonna let me make a case here?
All right, make your case. Make your case.
Okay, I'd cut Barry Sanders.
Boom. Oh my god. Yeah, right. You must have.
Listen,
oh my goodness.
Listen,
no way.
Man, this is my case. All right. First of all, he never won shit. But that's not really what we're talking about. So
right,
we're
going to
pass on that.
And winning the Super Bowl really doesn't come down to the running back. That's
right.
More of a quarterback thing. You know?
Okay. All right. But as far as losing yards, mm-hmm. he lost too many yards. He couldn't catch mm-hmm. a pass. Couldn't block.
I think his blocking was underrated. I mean, he picked up some blitzes. And his catching, he was more of a screen guy out in the flats. He wasn't like a runner.
Not much. I mean, the screen pass was a little bit risky when you went that way with him because he's so short.
He was short. Well, he was the same height as Emmitt. Emmitt was 5'9", Barry was 5'8".
I don't know, man. When you threw a screen pass to Emmitt, you knew you had 5 yards in the bag.
Absolutely, because you had Eric Williams and Larry Allen out there.
Yeah,
come
yeah,
on,
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Those guys was not chopped liver. Larry Allen is probably one of the all-time greats.
That whole line, Nate Newton.
Nate Newton?
Yeah.
What was it, Stepnowski?
Stepnowski at center, Nate Newton, and Eric Williams and Larry Allen. Larry Allen was the other guard.
Yeah, it was one. It was another guy we missed.
Eric Williams and who am I missing? It's number 70.
Mark Tuane.
Tuane, that's right, 71.
Yeah. 71, 2-8, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
That team, I mean, yes. So that was the get rid of one. That started it. And, I mean, that had to be one of the most engaging posts of all time on that Facebook thing. I got to look back at it. It might have had like 150 comments on it or something.
Yeah, at least.
It was nuts. So,
okay, so now what have you got? Now you moved on to quarterbacks.
So then we moved on to quarterbacks. I mean, we had what was the one? We had Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Dan Marino, and Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Who do you get rid of?
Yeah, who do you get rid of?
That one
went all over the place. A lot of people say Brady because they hate Brady. I mean, he is a cheater.
Yeah, that came up, didn't it?
Yeah, that came up. Some people said Marino because he never won nothing, you know, out of the film. So that was
I think Marino.
Was,
yeah,
phenomenal.
I don't know who do you cut?
I might cut Brady.
Really?
I would might cut Brady, yeah.
I mean, man.
Or Montana. I can't cut Joe. Joe was just, I mean, when you look at attributes, Joe and Brady probably are the least two of the four attributes. Physically gifted.
But
exactly.
Listen, man, when I watched the game, and I remember watching Joe Montana. I remember watching him at Notre Dame.
He can run.
Right.
It
looks like when he got to the NFL, he would play, and I would say he's playing pro football and everybody else is playing college.
Yep.
You know, I mean, he just – and I didn't see that again until Brady.
Okay.
He just
– right.
Brady can't – physically the same thing, man. He you see his videos of his combine?
Yeah, it was horrible.
It was horrible. I was like, who's that?
Now you see how that guy made it to the sixth round.
Right.
I think Brady's success, I think when you look at the Patriots, I see Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And I think Brady's success is Belichick more than anything.
That's the pitfall of these surveys, man.
Right.
You'd never tell. It's like, you know, could Ali beat Rocky Marciano or Joe Louis, you know? I mean,
right.
These are all just theoretical. You know?
Oh, yeah, what ifs. Yeah, what
LeBron
ifs.
LeBron and Michael, you know.
And Jordan, right. Oh, man, that's that. That was the one today.
That's the hot topic.
That was Shaq, LeBron, Kobe, and Jordan. You had the number one pick. Which of those guys would you take?
Oh, man. Any day. I know.
I'm taking LeBron all day. That guy, he checks more boxes than anybody I've seen play.
I mean, Jordan, I can understand, but I'm taking Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan was great. I just didn't see Jordan against high caliber athletes like we have in today's game. I mean, Jordan was by far and away the most gifted athlete out on the court. And the second best player, the guy that could have maybe guarded him and gave him trouble, was on his team, Scottie Pippen. So he never got challenged.
Yeah, I never thought much of Pippen, though. I mean, no, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know.
Oh, that dude was phenomenal.
He was physically. I don't think Jordan was physically. I mean, Jordan was great. He could jump like nobody's. But
there's
a lot of guys like Jordan, especially nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the physical attributes. What Jordan had was just the competitiveness, man.
Yes, his competitiveness. That's what put him over the top. But back then, he had all the gifts over everybody. He didn't – I mean, he had most shooting guards were 6'3 back then.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Joe Dumars, Hersey Hawkins, all those guys, he was 6'6 and could jump out the building and could dribble the ball.
Isaiah said that it was the jumping. He's like, you can guard him, you can slow him down, and then all of a sudden, you know, hey man, I can't hang with that jump.
Right. You know? You can stay in front of him. Right. You're right, Pete Devil. You can stay in front of him.
Did you see the video of the greatest game never played? Have you seen that?
The greatest Olympic.
Yeah, the Olympic game.
The Olympic trials. Yeah, I seen some of that.
Man, Magic and who's it? Magic. Like, the funny thing.
Yeah, Magic and Jordan was going at it.
You're right, right. And then Karl Malone and Barkley were going at it.
Yep.
And
David Robinson and Pat Ewing.
Yep. Oh man, what a game! The funniest thing is they had Christian Laettner didn't even get in the game. He didn't even get on the bleachers. But that was cool, man. I watched that video. That was an awesome video. And Bird was hurt. He wasn't playing. He was just kind of
Bird was just weird. I think his back was messed up. But even then, now, if Pippen was on Jordan's team, then there was nobody on that team that could guard Jordan.
Right. Magic was trying.
Yeah, he ain't no wing defender. There was no wing defenders back when Jordan played. He had his way with anybody, that it was just nobody there.
Right.
It ain't his fault, but like you say, what sets him apart was his competitiveness, and which is only matched by Kobe Bryant, from what I've seen, the competitive. But then his basketball IQ, that's where Kobe comes up short. Kobe just wanted to take every shot, where Jordan would pass it.
Yeah. Jordan felt like he had the rhythm of the game. He knew it, man.
The pulse of the game. He saw the game like Bird, like Magic.
Right.
Those guys. Like LeBron. Like LeBron sees the game.
LeBron sees it like that, you think?
Yeah, I think so. He doesn't have that competitive though. He don't have that dog in him. When I watch,
Jordan wanted to make you cry, you know?
Right.
Bird too.
When I watch Jordan, Iverson, and Kobe play, they look like they would run through a brick wall with one arm to get a win if they had to.
Right.
They would run through a wall to win a game. And LeBron, I don't know if it means that much to him or he's just not that type of player. But when you look at the attributes and what he brings to the court, he checks all the boxes. Yeah. He can guard every position on the court. Yeah.
I mean, physically, he's Superman.
He is. He's Karl Malone. He's Karl Malone's
right,
side.
Yeah. With Jordan's athlete.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Wow. Running faster than Iverson and Tony Parker. He's phenomenal. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's
so true. That would be my number one pick any day of the week, that guy. Yeah. And then I'll just build it around that.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you could pick, you know, you could pick Shaq and Kobe and Jordan and put them all on the same team. And you know what? They would probably lose in the finals to the Pistons.
Yeah. Right. Right. The Lakers had a dream team. Well, Karl Malone did get hurt that series.
You're talking about
the one when they lost to the Pistons.
Yeah.
Lost to Chauncey Billups and
Chauncey Billups and Rasheed Wallace, Tayshaun Prince. Talk about a bunch of, you know, great players, but nobody's
Rip gonna, Hamilton. Rip Hamilton, Ben
from
Wallace.
Coatesville, Pennsylvania.
Coatesville, Rip. Yeah. He's from the area. Yeah. Him and Kobe used to play in high school against each other.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a team right there. That was a team.
That was a team. Yeah.
That was
awesome. I loved it.
That's like Marty Schottenheimer. We're looking for that gleam. That gleam. The Pistons had that gleam, man. They had it. They took down the Lakers with Shaq and Kobe and Karl Malone and Gary Payton.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, another one of my favorite seasons was the year that the Sixers made it to the finals against the Lakers. And
oh my goodness, P double. If you could lived in Philly during that time, that Iverson team, I never seen a guy own a city quite like what. It was nuts around here. You could go out on any night of those playoff games, and everywhere you went was packed.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a Sixer fan, but it was just, you just got caught up in all the hoopla. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, I loved Iverson when he played for the Sixers, man.
Yeah.
He was so competitive.
The city took to him like nobody's business. He played hard. You know what I mean?
Oh,
he
left him, man.
All on the
court. He single-handedly took him to the finals.
He did.
He couldn't get past Tyronn Lue.
He stepped over him.
I don't know if you remember that game. I remember it, man. Tyronn Lue got up on him, got up in his grill, and just wouldn't leave him alone. And he actually stopped him one game.
Did he? I don't remember. I remember the shot, and then Iverson stepped over him. That was big highlight from the baseline. He hit the shot on him.
That was Lue?
Yeah, that was over Tyronn Lue. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Google it. You got YouTube. Yeah, Iverson stepped over him. But in that series, the Lakers hadn't lost a game all playoffs.
Right.
They swept both. They swept the whole West.
Right.
And then when they got to the finals, the Sixers won the first game, and that was the. And then the Lakers swept them after that.
Yeah, they, I mean, they just didn't have
the horses. They didn't have the horses.
Yeah, I mean, he was all alone.
They controlled Kobe. They had enough. They had enough wing defenders.
Right
to control Kobe, but they had no answer for Shaq. If you remember, during the All-Star game, they made it the All-Star break. They made a trade. They traded Theo Ratliff for the Dikembe Mutombo.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And they thought Mutombo would be the defensive player that they needed. Man, Shaq just put that big shoulder into him and dunked him all over the court. It was amazing that this was the NBA Defensive Player of the Year, and he was getting manhandled.
Yep, just destroyed.
Destroyed. So
Shaq was probably the most dominant
of our generation. When you look back and what Wilt did, he wasn't as dominant as Wilt.
Yeah.
Wilt Chamberlain, they made rules. They changed rules for Wilt. I mean, that's dominating.
Yeah.
Like, they outlawed dunking because Wilt just dunked every time. The 3-second rule, they put that into effect because of Wilt. Because Wilt would just stay in the box. There was nothing you could do.
Yeah. The only guy that was close was, like, Bill Russell.
Yeah. He dominated
like
6'6". Him.
Something like that.
6'9". Bill Russell was like 6'8", 6'9". Wilt 7'1".
Yeah.
Wilt didn't get challenged until Kareem came into the league. And, a lot of people sleep on Kareem. The hook shot, that's one of the great. I think, you can flip a coin with me if you take Jordan or Kareem as the greatest. I mean, Kareem was unstoppable. You couldn't block a 7'1" sky hook.
That was guaranteed.
That was... Once he turned, you put money in. You know, you start running the other way.
Yeah, don't even.
He got to that spot. It was a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. So that was the post today. I think we're gonna have to put some more up tomorrow.
Yeah,
I don't want to ruin it. So
on the
podcast, but hopefully this podcast we'll just like touch on more of the. The post, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, man, we could talk about this all night, these different sports, theories and scenarios.
Absolutely.
Another good one you had on there today was the guns. Okay, so.
Oh, right. If you heard the noise, was it that one? Did you see that one?
Yeah, you heard the noise. What do you go for?
Yeah, what do you go for, right?
Can you run that one down?
Yeah. That was it was like a video game. You know, in the video games, like all your weapons and all your choices pop up on the screen. So it was, hypothetical. Not saying that if you had those weapons, but you hear a noise downstairs in the middle of the night. What do you go for? A 12-gauge shotgun, an AR-15. I think it was a Glock 17, a knife. The phone to call the cops.
Bingo!
Or your pillow and go back to sleep.
Go back to sleep. Just take what you need, man. Take what
I
you
was
need.
Dreaming. I was dreaming.
There's a beer in the fridge. Help yourself, you know.
Right. Right. I got to check on that post to see if any responses to that.
Hang on a minute. Yeah. Let me just take a look. Hold on. And then, all right, hold on a minute. I don't want to slow it down here. Too right. much.
I know it was the 12-gauge shotgun, the AR-15, the Glock 17, a steak knife. Like, who has a steak knife up in their in their bedroom though?
Yeah, well, you know, I know guys that, you know, you might have a gun under your pillow, or
right,
your nightstand or something, and I don't want to get shot. You know, my wife is sleeping right next to it. She might just pull that thing out one night.
Oh my God! keep the safety on. We could have put a baseball bat on there too.
Yeah. Well, all right. I'm going to try to now. Listen, we're on the Mr. National podcast, so I'm going to try this out. But if this doesn't go well, you got to tell me, and I won't do this again. I'm going to tell a story.
Okay.
From when I was younger. All right. I lived in Flint, Michigan. You heard of Flint, Michigan?
Yeah, I heard of Flint, Michigan.
This is kind of a tough town, right? And I lived in a bit of a rough neighborhood. And so I'm driving home. It's like a Friday night at midnight or something. I'm driving home with my girlfriend. She's driving. We're pulling
right
up down the street to my house where I live with like four other guys. We live in this, you know, this rental house. And we're going down the street, like this little side street, and there's this car stopped, and the door's open, and these two guys are in the grass next to the car. They're fighting.
Uh-huh.
And my girlfriend is like, "What the fuck is going on here?" You know? And I'm like, "Just be cool, man."
Right.
And she's like, "Well, what are they doing?" You know? And I'm like, "Just let them, they see you. Just let them get back in the car. They'll go, you know?"
Right.
And, you know, "What are they? Those guys are crazy. They're just stupid. You know, what are they doing? Nee, 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 nee." So they see us sitting there, and they were fighting with each other. But
right,
then they're like, one of the guy gets up and he gets in the car, and he speeds off. And then so my girlfriend at the time, she guns it past the other guy, like she's pissed off. You know, vroom, guns it by him. I'm like, "Oh no." So he comes chasing us down the road.
Oh, my goodness.
He's running after the car. And I'm like, pull in the back, go into the garage back there, you know?
Right.
So she pulls into the back, stops the car. I get out. I lock the doors. I say, "Don't move." I run in the house. I go to get my nunchucks.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm talking about?
Bruce Lee?
Yeah. Never actually used those on anybody, but I was going to get
some nunchucks.
So anyway, this dude, I ran in the house. He ran up onto the front porch of my house, right?
Jeez.
Yeah, so he's, you know, he's probably
drinking. He was wired. This dude is ready. He was just throwing down. Now he's ready to throw down again.
Yeah, he just wants to fight who's ever there, you know.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that, like, my roommates, couple of them come to the door. They're like, "What's going on?" You know, it's probably a couple big dudes, you know. They're like, "What is this dude pounding on the door?" And it just so happens, like, another one of my roommates was getting dropped off by a cop. His friend of his was a cop. And this other cop happened to just roll up. Just happened to roll up. And so this dude ran into the backyard. Now he's taken off. And this whole time I'm looking for my nunchucks. So he ran into the backyard behind the garage. Now he's looking face to face with my girlfriend through the window of the garage. She's sitting in the car, and he's looking through the window into the garage. She's like, "Oh shit!"
Now she having second thoughts of being all mad and, like, you know.
Yeah. So anyway, he took off. They never caught him, but she got out of the car and was like, "Why did you leave me back here?" I'm like, "I got my nunchucks."
Yeah, I went to get my nunchucks. So that's what P-Double going for, he's going for the nunchucks. He is the sound.
I don't need a nine. I don't need a nine. I don't need a...
Right. Just give me my nunchucks. And was these like homemade or were they like the store bought? Like,
no, man, I got them from the dojo.
Oh, yeah, they were nice then.
They were real.
The nicer ones, they had like the swivel, like where the chain went into the stick, they had like the swivel on it.
Yeah, I had some with the chain and some with the rope.
Right, with the rope.
The lighter ones with the rope.
Right. See, we were in the hood. We made our own nunchucks. After watching a Bruce Lee movie, we would go cut up a wooden broomstick.
Right.
Put a screw into it, you know, and find a little chain or something. And the most damage was done while you were swinging and doing your best Bruce Lee.
Right.
That nail or that screw came out, and that piece of wood go flying across the street. You know what I mean? In the middle of you doing your routine. You know, we homemade them joints. We homemade them, yeah, nunchucks. I wouldn't mind buying a pair of them.
Yeah, I mean, they're good exercise, you know. It's good for your hand-eye coordination. And
yes, and putting just, putting it behind your back and catching it on the down low, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then come back around.
Coming back around, yeah.
And then if you can, you know you're getting good when you can make it make that noise.
Oh, my goodness, right. Then you fake it. It was like you throw it behind, you just put your hand and smack it back around, and then you swing it and lock it under your armpit, and then you were set.
Right, and then you get the little, you know, the move, like, oh,
right.
I'm ready for you.
Well, you put the hand up, and you tell them to come on, like Bruce used to do.
Right, and like then that crazy drunk guy that was probably high on some pills or something would have, you know, came at me and gone off spider monkey on me.
Right. Yeah, nunchucks is not a good thing to be grabbing if you hear a noise in the house.
Right, unless you're Bruce Lee.
Yeah, unless you're Bruce Lee or Chuck Norris, do not go for the nunchucks. Right. If you got nunchucks, if your only option is nunchucks, call the police and lock the door.
Hide in the closet.
Yeah. Mr. National is going for the 12 gauge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't go wrong with a 12 gauge. You don't even got to be close, you know.
Yeah, right? It just sprays it. Bam.
It just sprays it. Boom. And the other thing with a 12 gauge is that noise that it makes.
Oh, yeah. You're right. You don't have to shoot it.
You don't even have to shoot it. You hear that. You know what that is. And locked, now you getting out of there.
Locked and loaded, right.
Yeah, exactly. It ain't got to be nothing in there. You hear something go, boom. Then you get up and you make some noise, and you go, chick. They running. They running. Just that me making that noise, making the hair on my neck stand up just there.
Right. You know, you hear like a open a closet door.
Yup. Oh man, that's it. You hear the door shut. You hear whatever that was. They gone. You know what I mean? They are gone. So that's Mr. National going for the 12 gauge Mossberg pump shotgun. Ooh. That's what we going for.
Yep. Go downstairs and find your big screen TV on the floor. He just dropped it and ran.
Right. Exactly. Find, you know, little stuff ran rummaged through. Door wide open. They hauled ass.
All right, man. Now, we haven't even touched on electric football.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of not really feeling electric football right now after taking that butt whipping in the Super Bowl. I mean, you want to talk about electric football? My team is sitting over there. What, you know, maybe this weekend, P-Double, I'm a go look at them, give them a little pep talk.
Right.
Tell them I let them.
Post-mortem.
Right. I let them down. You know what I mean? I let them down. I played good for about three quarters, and then I, you know, you like everything is magnified. You know what I mean? It was 6-6 and you up there rubbing elbows with Creasy, you know what I mean? You gotta be on top of your game. And I think what happened is I lost my grip, my concentration level, and you know, one or two plays here or there, cutting the board off too soon. And then I went for it on a fourth down, which was crazy. It's like fourth and 30 or something. So, you know, you just lose focus. So that's what happened. It wasn't the team. The team played great. I as a coach, I let my team down. But as an overall, everybody that was there had a great time. You know what I mean? The food was excellent. Electric coach was there videoing it. And he had a bad connection. I think watching it live was a little choppy.
To watch it back.
Right. That's what he said. He said he's videoing and cutting it up, and he'll just upload it from the recording, and it'll be a lot smoother.
Man, that happens. You go, you know, if you're going to Facebook Live or whatever, you're always kind of under that risk.
Yeah. P-Double, this dude is serious, okay? He comes with his own modem. Oh. He didn't use the modem from the restaurant or whatever. He has his own modem box.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
But where we were at in the bar, in the banquet hall, I don't know if even his modem had like a good service or whatever, right. Good connection. So that's why it was a little choppy. But, yeah. Maurice does not depend on Wi-Fi or getting on the Wi-Fi, you know, at the place where he's going. Because I guess he figures everybody's on it is going to be slow. He needs optimum signal and service. So he brings his own modem, plugs it in, and he's ready to go. His setup was phenomenal. He's got that crane. It was overhead. I mean, I was playing the game. I didn't even know that thing was over there. You know what I mean? Over my head. It was awesome. And he came down because he wanted to. You know what I mean? Nobody paid him or nothing.
Where's he from?
He's from Maryland.
Oh, okay.
He's from Maryland. Wow. So he had like a two-hour and 20-minute drive out to Philly.
Wow.
And videoed and did everything for us. So it was cool. Smokestack had a moment of silence for Larry Walker,
who passed
away.
Right.
Yeah, the great figure maker. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Pioneer. I mean, he goes way back before a lot. You know, I mean, before Antonio and Game Day, before Steve and Kenny with next level figures, even before Bruce Watts. You know what I mean? It was Larry Walker. It was Larry Walker making figures.
You've been doing this for a while.
Yeah. I mean,
and you know everybody. I mean,
not mostly. most of them. You know the saying they say. They have. I don't know if it's they have or I have, but I've probably met more coaches in person than anybody else in the hobby.
Really?
You know, from all the traveling. You know,
right.
You know, all the traveling. I've flown out to Detroit to watch their Super Bowl.
That's a great league.
Yeah. I don't
want to get close to that league. Yeah, I'm right next to it, but I don't want to get close to it.
Right. They kind of split up now. I mean, I'm going back probably in 08 maybe.
Okay.
They were a lot stronger. It was more guys. But they didn't since split that main league into like maybe three different leagues. So.
Yeah.
When I came out there, it was like I flew out on a Saturday morning and got picked up, got to the game, watched their game, stayed at another coach's house, and then got up Sunday morning and caught the plane back home.
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah, I did that for Texas. I've flown out to Texas a few times. Wow. I've flown out to Los Angeles for Dave and Eric's open run. So I met a lot of those guys who really don't travel too much, some of the West Coast guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I went out there and seen that. So in my time, my 18, 19 years in the game, in the sport, I've done my traveling. You know what I mean? I guess they could say I earned the name Mr. National. People say I'm national. I'm gonna be national. I say, hey, you can have it. The pay sucks. You know what I mean? The pay sucks, but you got it. You can have it, man. You can have it. I mean, I just enjoy meeting the people and obviously the game itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Competitive. We can't run around like, you know, like we used to no more. So
right. You know. Yeah. If you hit me, I'm in traction.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. If I run, it'll be like 3 weeks before I recover. It's like being in a car accident. That's just running.
Right,
you know,
right.
Let alone getting tackled.
Yep,
if I just ran, just man. Got up and ran, that's like, wow.
Yeah.
I can't even think of that.
Can you imagine Brett Favre playing until he was 41?
I know.
I can't even.
Well, remember. I mean, I can see him doing it if he always did it. You know what I mean? Like,
that's true. That's true.
Once you stop, you got to get back into that
shape.
Well,
how old was your boy? He was older than that, wasn't he? Jerry Rice.
Jerry might have been in his 30s, late 30s, I think. I don't know if he played in the – I don't know if he played in his 40s.
Hmm.
I don't think so. I have to check. I think he was in his maybe 39.
Oh,
His last team was the Seahawks. He tried to get on with the Broncos. He actually had a jersey. He was going to wear number 19. And Shanahan told him he would be third or fourth receiver, and he didn't want that, so he just retired.
Wow.
Which kind of was cool, because when he retired and Emmitt retired, they both retired the same year, and they were able to go in to the Hall of Fame the same year, 5 years later.
Yeah.
Which would, you know, you got the all-time leading receiver and the all-time leading rusher. That's a class tough to beat right there.
Yeah, that, man. Yeah.
Jerry Rice and Emmitt Smith went into the Hall of Fame the same year.
I don't get
much better than that.
Yeah, some have put him as the greatest of all time, Jerry Rice. I can't argue.
Yeah.
I can't argue with that.
I mean, some people you say Jim Brown. I mean, you can. I mean, you can argue that, but I think I say Jerry Rice is the greatest football player, because when you take every position, P-double, you take and you say who's the best, whether it's tight end, quarterback, running back, offensive tackle, defensive end, linebacker, you're going to get 3-4 different guys at every position.
Right.
Okay? Like if I say who's the best tight, the greatest tight end, some might say Tony Gonzalez. Some might say Shannon Sharp. Some might say John Mackey. Some might say Kellen Winslow Sr. If I say best greatest quarterback, Joe Montana, Otto Graham, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. Running back, Walter Payton, Barry Sanders, Jim Brown, Emmitt Smith. Jerry Rice, when you say wide receiver, there's only one name that comes up.
You're right. Jerry Rice. He's head and shoulders above the rest.
Above everybody. So that's why I lean to him as I say he is the greatest football player of all time. Because when you ask who's the greatest wide receiver, it's only one name that ever comes up.
Yeah.
And that's the only position in football that has a unanimous number one guy.
Huh. Yeah, I cannot refute you one bit. I got nothing to come back with, man.
National shoots. He scored.
Money.
Right.
All right. Here's the deal on Jerry Rice, number 80. He was born in 1962. Okay. So he was 40 in 2002.
Oh, he was still playing.
He was still playing. They got him listed for the Broncos in 2005.
Yeah.
Seahawks in 2004.
Yep.
So he's looking like he's 42, still playing wide receiver.
Unbelievable.
You know, there's a big difference between wide receiver and quarterback.
Yeah, or kicker and punter.
Doesn't even count. No disrespect to Ray Guy or somebody like that, you know.
Right,
but
right, right.
You know, but
Morton Anderson and one of them kickers. There's one guy. Oh, what's his name? I think he's going to Hall of Fame. I think he's one of the oldest guys in the leagues now. The kicker for the Patriots. He was the Colt. What's his name? The guy that kicked in the snow. The guy that.
Vander.
No, not Vanderjack. The best kicker guy. He won those Super Bowls for the Patriots. Right. And then now? He kicked. What's his name?
Hold on.
And he plays for the Colts. Then he was kicking for the Colts. He left the Patriots and went to the Colts. He the one kicked the game, the game winner against the Raiders, the Patriots, when they won the first Super Bowl. I can't believe his name is is escaping me.
Patriots kickers.
The kicker. What is his name? He's for the Patriots. He's going, but he's old. Matt, he's still fighting.
Vinatieri? No.
Vinatieri. There you go. Adam Vinatieri. He played with the Patriots. He won all them Super Bowls. He won them two Super Bowls, I think, two or three with the Patriots. Then he went over to the Colts and won another one with Peyton. He's still playing.
Is he really?
I think so.
Wow.
Adam Vinatieri. And he's he's 40-something. He's got to be about 43, 42. But like you say, that's bottom of the barrel, you know, when you talk about age of playing.
Yeah.
Like running back. I don't know if you'll ever see a running back playing into his 40s.
No way. Linebacker, running back.
No way.
Somebody asked me the other day, you know, what does a linebacker do? Because I was talking about somebody who didn't know anything about football, and you really want me to tell you? I can tell you. You know all the techniques and the
right. The different responsibilities.
Responsibilities,
you know.
And reads, you know, that they make.
Yep.
But essentially, here's what happens. You lined up 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. There's a running back lined up 5 yards the other way. So you're 10 yards apart. You get running full blast, and you just run into each other. Bam.
That's it. Yep.
And, you know, somebody gets the better. You get up, and you do it again.
And you do it again, right. That's it. You 6 foot two, 245 pounds, 230 pounds.
Right.
And you, like you said, you get a 5 yard, 7 yard running start, and you run it into another man that's about 5 foot ten, 215 pounds. And he's barreling down on you.
He's like Marshawn Lynch. He's going to deliver the blow, you know.
Oh, my goodness. What was the other guy? He's a guy that delivered Earl Campbell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a guy like that coming through.
Oh, man, that guy was
bruising
brutal.
Back. Larry Zonka.
Yep.
Guys just looking for contact.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, Earl Campbell was a big favorite of mine.
Oh, that's my all-time favorite player right there.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Earl Campbell. Yep, number one. Without a question. Got jerseys. Got all shirts, everything. That's my guy.
Yeah,
as a kid, growing up, Earl
really?
Campbell
that's
was
funny.
My guy.
I really was a big fan of his, too. I was conflicted between the Oilers and the Cowboys.
Oh, wow. Yeah, two Texas teams, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Earl Campbell was my guy. The Tyler Rose.
Yeah, Tyler, Texas.
That's it. Yeah,
he was great at the University of Texas.
Yeah, Heisman Trophy winner.
Heisman Trophy winner came into the NFL, just steamroller.
Steamroller.
Big legs.
Oh my god!
Just punishing people.
I think he led the league his first 3 years in the league. In 1980, he rushed for 1,934 yards.
Yep.
I think that was it. You can double check that.
No. You're on. I don't even have it. When you said it, I remember it. 1,934 yards. Yep.
1980. Oh, that was my guy, man. I love Earl Campbell.
Hey, now this is a little bit controversial, but I know you've seen highlights of the Juice making his runs.
Yeah.
Man, he was sweet.
Oh my goodness, unbelievable. That speed. I think the speed is what set him apart.
Yeah.
I mean, Dorsett had speed, too, but OJ was on a different level, man.
Yeah.
He looked like he was gliding. because he was kind of tall. He was kind of tall. Yep. And those strides, man. Some of them runs. And he had nothing. I mean, to know the guy's getting a ball. You know what I mean? Dorsett went to a quality team.
Right.
I think Dorsett played with did Dorsett play with Roger Staubach? I don't know.
Yeah.
He played a little bit with Roger, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was the heyday. That team, Dorsett and Staubach and
Drew Pearson, Tony Hill, Butch Johnson, Billy Joe Dupree. I mean, he came a little later, Billy Joe Dupree.
Yeah.
But Dorsett came into a perfect situation, you know what I mean?
Right.
OJ, it's all the Bills had was OJ.
Right, and the defense knew he was getting the ball.
And they still couldn't stop him.
Unbelievable.
Man.
Reminded me of myself when I was in my prime.
Yeah, right, of course.
In the backyard against, my sister.
Yeah. The Mr. National Podcast brought to you by P. Double.
All right, man. This has been awesome.
This is what you folks can look forward to.
So we're going to do this. This has been almost an hour. It's been like 45 minutes.
Awesome. Well, now you got to do your job. Huh? You got to cut it up, edit it,
make it work. I think this is just. I think this is gold right here.
This is gold. Well, you're the producer. You know, I'm just the voice. I'm like a man on fire. The voice. I'm just the voice. You're the brains of the outfit.
Well, we're gonna get it going, and I think you can count on like an hour a week.
There we go.
Mr. National, right? We're going to get on something.
Mr. National is like, where did he sign? An hour a week doing a podcast with my boy P. Double. Book it.
It's done.
Book it. It's done. I can do this.
All right. And
the pump shotgun. We got to get that noise. Locked
and
loaded.
That'll be the intro, you know?
There you go. The pump shotgun. I'm locked and loaded for this.
Locked and loaded. There we go. That's locked and loaded. Mr. National.